One of the ways we follow the commands of Jesus here at New Day is we join other disciples from around the world, from different denominations, different churches, and throughout history in sharing the Lord's Supper together, communion. And when we look in Scripture at how Jesus did that, he sat down with his disciples and they used bread and wine, things that were readily available where they were and in any household they would go to, so that as disciples made disciples who made disciples from household to household and community to community, they could always share this meal together and remember what unites them is the body of Christ that was broken for them. What they can agree on is that there is a covenant between God and humanity that's been renewed because Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. So our past could be forgiven, so our future could be secured. So we do that on the first Sunday of each month here at New Day. We share communion together. And if you're tuning in virtually via Facebook Live or you're listening to the podcast, you can go and find something in your home that you can use to participate, something to represent the bread and to represent the wine that helps us remember the body and blood of Jesus. The important thing is to put your heart in the right place, to remember that you are his. If there's something that's getting in the way of your relationship with God right now, this is a time to wrestle with that and to make a commitment to him, to sort that out, a time to pray to him, to ask for the strength to do that. And if you have already decided in your heart that you're not willing to do that and you know you're in disobedience, then don't take this time to remember the body and blood of Christ by participating in eating the bread and drinking from the cup. Take this time to pray to him that he would do a work in your heart. As the Apostle Paul says, don't come to the bread and the cup unworthily. If, however, this is a time that you want to renew your commitment to God, you want to remember the covenant that Jesus made through his blood once for all time, then take a bite of bread. Take from the cup. Here's how the Apostle Paul explained it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take the bread. Thank you, God, for the body of Jesus broken for us. Let's eat the bread together. And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it." Let's remember the blood of Christ shed for our sins once for all time as we drink together. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.
Hey, it's been a while. Happy 4th of July weekend. That is when we're going live with this message, so maybe you're listening to it after that time. Well, whatever time you're listening to it, there are reasons to celebrate. This weekend, there's going to be cookouts, there are going to be fireworks, there are going to be all kinds of circumstances to make us happy. And this message is about something more than that. Our key idea today is, despite my circumstances, I feel inner contentment and understand my purpose in life. We're talking about joy today. And joy is this strength inside of us that even when we're in the presence of our enemies, as David said it, we're not afraid. Joy is this energy that gets us up and gets us moving, even when things are difficult. So happiness is when something happens and we smile and we're pleased about it. Joy is deeper than that. And we're going to look into it this morning. I'm so glad that you're here. The author of Believe, Randy Frazee, says it this way: joy has more to do with remaining in the presence of Jesus than with avoiding problems and struggles in our life. Did you catch that? Joy has more to do with remaining in the presence of Jesus than it has to do with avoiding problems and struggles. See, happiness is this feeling that we want to hold on to so we avoid problems and struggles, and consequently we miss out on opportunities, or we pile up problems that will eventually catch up with us. When we embrace joy, we face hard work and hard truths with the belief that God's strength is what helps us endure. There's a song that my friend and a member of New Day shared with me, Mike Stuland, and I'm going to share just a little bit of it with you, even though it's a country song. It's called New Day by Corey Smith. And I think Corey Smith paints a great picture of joy as a feeling that gets us moving. He says in one verse, he says, "Put your feet on the floor, it's no time to rest. The wolf's in the den, the hawk's in the nest. No more waiting on the promised land. We're going to build this mansion with our own two hands. Don't let them tell you that it can't be done. Let the truth be heard, the gospel be sung. It's a new day, a new day." We didn't name the church after that song. He named the song after our church. No, the church and the song, and it's all about a concept. It's a concept of a new start, a freshness, a joy to go and take things on. I want us to keep that feeling in mind as we see what God has to say about it through the Apostle Paul. So tune in to this from Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. Paul says, "Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Now, some people take that last part, "I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength," and they turn it into something where, you know, I can accomplish any goal or whatever. The context, though, as you look at it, is Paul is saying, whether I have very little or whether I have a lot, I can be content. Even if things aren't all coming my way, I'll be satisfied in the Lord. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even when I'm surrounded by cookouts, brats, beverages, even when I'm surrounded by everything coming my way, I have the strength to resist being a glutton or being lazy. I have self-control. I have power over my own life, not because that comes from within me, but because it comes from Christ. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. In the Old Testament, Nehemiah told the people in Jerusalem in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, "Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now, I've taught about this before, and I love this paraphrase. If we look into the Hebrew and work out what does that mean, the joy of the Lord is your strength. is your strength. And if we were to paraphrase it based on the original language, we could say it this way: joy with the Lord. Joy with the Lord, that is your stronghold. I want you to let that soak in for just a moment, because there are circumstances where it feels like we do not have a stronghold, where there are difficult things going on and we don't know how we're going to keep standing, where there's depression that hits us and we don't know how we're going to get up and take the next step. There are also situations where there are so many doors of temptation open to us, we don't know how we're going to resist them. Joy with the Lord. The joy that comes from being in a covenant relationship with God, where He says, "You are mine and I am yours." That relationship with an almighty God, there is joy in that, and that is our stronghold that keeps us safe and firmly in place during difficult times, that keeps us under self-control and resisting temptation and unhealthy decisions during times of plenty. Joy comes from remaining in the presence of Jesus. And it also comes from joining Him in His purposes. As I read this from Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 1, I want you to imagine what the church would look like if Jesus were to lead it in our community today. What would a church look like? Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 1, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that He was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 in the wilderness and go to search for the one that's lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he'll joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. Listen to that. He will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Do you hear the joy in there that comes from finding someone who is lost and bringing them safely home? So, New Day, are we a church that teaches people who are already believers, or are we a church that reaches people who are not yet believers? Don't answer out loud. It's a trick question. Because the answer is yes. We are both of those things. The mission that Jesus gave us is to make more disciples, teaching them to obey everything He commanded, to make more and better disciples. It's not an either-or thing. The critical question for every church to answer is not, are we going to join Jesus on the mission that He's given us? Yes, of course we are. We are going to teach believers. We are going to reach the lost. The critical question is, which of those will we prioritize? And the gravity tends to be towards teaching those who are already believers, and yet we see the priority of Jesus is to resist that gravity and to move outward to reach those who are lost. And there's great joy in doing that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 encourages us, says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Did it make Jesus happy to be betrayed to be beaten, to be whipped? No, of course not. And yet it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. It was for the joy of seeing lost people brought safely home to the Heavenly Father. It was for the joy of looking forward to reuniting with the Heavenly Father, having done everything within His will, without fail. For the joy set before Him. So what difference do these thoughts, do these ideas make in the way we live? Well, when we understand that our joy comes from being with Jesus and being part of His mission, then the joy of Christ will replace or reduce stress in our lives. That's a big promise, right? How am I going to back that up? Michelle and I watched some TV over the year of lockdown. And sometimes our kids would join us. And something I learned about my daughter Sophie is she gets real stressed out when we're watching movies, when she doesn't know what the outcome is going to be. And sometimes we would watch documentaries about true crime, and she, what we learned, would just pick up her phone and she would look up how it ends. Which I did not understand at all, because I thought it was about the journey. I thought it was about not spoiling the ending. I thought that was part of the importance of storytelling. For her, though, she said, I just don't like to be stressed out. Knowing the ending helped her relax. It replaced her stress. When you have your strength rooted in the promises of Jesus Christ, you know that your past is no longer going to be held against you, and you can relax about that. You know that your future is secure because He has already won. You can skip to the end of the book and you can see He's done it. He has accomplished it. When He was on the cross, He said, "It is finished." We know the outcome, and we need to be reminded of it by staying connected to Christ. And when we stay connected to Him, our stress about the past can be covered over. Our worry about the future can be relieved. We can replace the stress and the worry with joy, knowing we are accepted by Him today. The joy of Christ will also be contagious through us. So the joy of Christ will replace or reduce stress. It will also be contagious through us. Saturday Night Live used to have a character called Debbie Downer. Anybody remember Debbie Downer? She'd go out with her friends and in a restaurant or in Disneyland. And as they're talking about things that they're enjoying or looking forward to, she would interject with personal information that was a little bit uncomfortable. Or she would talk about some world event that everybody should be worried about instead of enjoying the moment. And she'd take the whole group and bring everything down. And it's funny because we've all been in situations like that. We've all been around people who do that and seem unconscious about the fact that they're doing it. The opposite can also be true, though. When you are a person of joy with the Lord, you can walk into a situation and be an encouragement to people. This isn't about you pretending that there aren't hard things going on in life. This is about you having the joy to face the hard things in life with contentment and with an assurance that God has it all under control. And when you walk into a situation like that, where people need to be encouraged, where they need more joy, that can be contagious. Just as Debbie Downer can make a room deflate, a disciple of Jesus who carries joy around with them can lift a room. The joy of Christ will also draw others to Christ. Randy Frazee, author of Believe, tells a story about a missionary who was confronted in the marketplace, and somebody said, "What do you put on your face?" And the missionary said, "I don't, what do you mean? I don't understand. I don't put anything on my face." And he said, no, you do. All you Christians do, because I can see the difference." And what this missionary started to realize was, oh, this person can see the joy, the contentment. They can see, and I think the word is countenance. What you look like says some things about what's happening inside of you. And when you are that person who's glowing, people will wonder, where does your hope come from? How are you handling this different from everyone else that I look at? And that becomes an opportunity for you to say, well, my joy isn't dependent on what happens in this or that situation. My joy comes from the Lord. You have an opportunity to draw others to Christ when you're living joyfully. So how do you experience this joy with the Lord? Everyone who comes to the live experience in the ministry center has a worksheet in front of them that we call the radiation worksheet. It's RAD, R-A-D, reflect, apply, discuss. This is just a pattern of living. We can find it all over in Scripture, where we're told, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Reflect on who He is and who you are. Reflect. Apply. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then do what He commands. When you look into His commands, and instead of just learning about them, when you do them, then you find that you have a testimony because He does something then in your life. So apply it. Do what He says. Look into His promises. Do what He says. And then discuss. Share what He's doing. Tell somebody about it. If you don't know somebody who is who's a non-believer, who's not connected to God or connected to church, talk to somebody who is connected to God or connected to church and let it be an encouragement to them. Hey, I read this passage and I thought about what God was saying in it, and I considered what I should do about it, and it was tough, but here's what I did and here was the result. I just wanted to celebrate with you. Or, I haven't figured out how I would apply this yet. I'm really struggling with it. What do you think? Discuss. Reflect, apply, discuss, look into God's promises, do what He says, share what He's doing in your life. Joy with the Lord, let that be your stronghold. But what is with the Lord if you're not spending time looking into His Word and applying His instructions? I know that's really basic, and sometimes we have to come back to the basics. I'm telling you, when you're looking for that kind of joy that comes from letting go of your past and looking towards a future that He already has secure, it will change your entire outlook on life. Let us be a people of joy, where our happiness is about more than just our circumstances, where our joy comes under any circumstances because it comes from Jesus Christ. Let us be a people who say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. I hope if you're going into a celebration, that you'll have strength in that celebration to have some self-control. I hope that if you're going through a difficult time of mourning or pain, I pray that God would give you strength through Jesus Christ to know that even in the midst of that, He wins in the end. Be strong and courageous through it all. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys face to face. That will certainly be an encouragement to me. And next week, I want to make sure that you tune in. My good friend, Glenn Hirschberger, who's the director of Church Starting in Converge Great Lakes, so Wisconsin and Upper Michigan, is going to be in the Ministry Center live and in person. You'll have a chance to meet him if you're there live, or certainly to hear an encouraging word from him if you're tuning in via Facebook or the podcast. So keep plugging in this summer, and let's be an encouragement to each other as we experience the joy of the Lord. Go in peace.